Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. They say you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can never please all of the people all of the time. But that doesn't keep us from trying to please all of the people. Nobody likes division and dissension. And we go way out of our way to try to make everybody happy. I'm sure on more than just one occasion, you've sidestepped the message of Jesus just to keep peace in the family. Our sinful nature prefers that we avoid speaking the truth of God's word, or at least we water down the gospel, all for the sake of peace and unity. In our gospel text this morning, Jesus is giving his disciples instructions before sending them out to proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It wasn't going to be easy for them, and he assured them that it would be difficult. He tells them, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Now when we hear this, it's shocking. Jesus bringing a sword? What about the angels at his birth proclaiming from heaven that Jesus is coming to bring peace on earth? What about when he told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you"? And even St. Paul tells us that it's Jesus alone who reconciles us with the Father. He says, "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So what are we supposed to do with this statement that Jesus is bringing a sword? It doesn't fit the narrative of the Bible. Well, if we look at the context of the passage, Jesus is using hyperbole. He's making an exaggeration. He's making an exaggeration that's not to be taken literally. Of course, Jesus wants peace. He wants his gospel proclaimed to all the ends of the earth and for all people to receive his peace. And for many, upon hearing Jesus' gospel message, they'll be moved to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. They'll repent of their sins and believe. But others, however, after hearing that exact same message, they reject Jesus' precious gift. They reject it due to their sinfulness and stubbornness. And this is the sword. It's figurative language for division and strife. It's been 2,000 years and things have not changed since Jesus sent out those original disciples. Disciples of all generations, including you, risk opposition when sharing the good news of Jesus. As that Holy Spirit works faith in the hearts of many who hear the word, bringing true peace, life, and salvation, others immediately reject it. They reject and despise Jesus and his message, regardless of who the messenger is. And as you well know, it causes division and strife. It divides son from father, mother from daughter, even daughter-in-law from mother-in-law. But still, at the end of the day, you and I do not like division. So to avoid that conflict, you'll be tempted to sidestep the issue or soften Jesus' gospel message, all for the sake of peace and harmony. But Scripture tells us that is not an option for the Christian, even within your own family. We look at the Ten Commandments. For the child of God, it is all a matter of priorities. You know, everyone knows the fourth commandment, "You shall honor your father and mother." What does this mean? We should fear love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. And this is all wonderful news. But we got to remember the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. By all means, love your family. Cherish your family. They're a precious gift from God in heaven to serve you and for you to serve as you walk on the earth. But unfortunately, many times in our lives, those earthly ties to our families hold us much firmer on the heart than the commands of God. Dear Christian, your relationship to God must be your first priority. And then comes your relationship with family and neighbor. You and I must confess that in our lives, many times we push Jesus all the way down to last place because our sinful nature goes after our own personal desires and our life of selfishness and the desires of our children and parents. We chase after everything in the world, be it ballpark, water park, or state and national park. And family time is indeed precious. But we put those above coming to Jesus in word and sacrament, to the point that worshiping Jesus becomes an afterthought. Jesus has these words for you this morning. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. That's pretty harsh. You're probably thinking, but it's my mom and dad. It's my son and my daughter. We're blood. We're cut out of the same cloth. And what if the message of Jesus drives them out of my life and I can never witness to them again? Why does Jesus insist on priority? Well, by right of your family name, when a parent or child dies, possibly you might inherit earthly treasures. But in baptism, God gave you his family name. He named you Christian. He adopted you into his family so that your sins might be forgiven. Then when you die, you might inherit eternal treasures. You see, with the shedding of Jesus' precious blood, he's purchased you away from those sinful things that you do and you are tempted to do. He's purchased you away from sin, death, and the devil. So, dear children, take up your cross and follow Jesus. In the day that St. Matthew wrote our gospel lesson, the cross represented death. The Romans were in rule. The cross was there every week. Someone was being crucified. So it was no question when Jesus said these things, he expected his followers to be willing to die if necessary, rather than give up their commitment to him. That's a daunting task. That seems like an impossible task. And brothers and sisters in Christ, this is why God sent his only begotten Son. As you were taught in catechism, there are two basic doctrines in the Holy Scripture, law and gospel. The law accuses the sinner of their sin and accuses them of their transgressions and condemns them to death. In today's second reading, St. Paul writes, "If it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin, for I would not have known what it is to covet sin. if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Boy, the law sounds bad. But God's law is good, even though you and I cannot keep that law. But it accuses of you of your sin. It terrifies your heart, and it draws you to repentance. And then you're ready to hear the soothing words of Jesus' gospel. You're ready to hear Jesus' absolution coming from the pastor, just as if Jesus were standing here before you, saying, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You see, all the many things that you and I fail according to God's law, Jesus did for you. Even while you were incapable or unwilling to carry Jesus' cross, he took up his cross and paid the penalty for your sin and the sins of the whole world. He died for your sin of sidestepping the gospel for the sake of unity and harmony. He died for your sin of worshiping false gods and putting the desires of family before loving and trusting in God above all things. He shed his blood into death, making you his first priority, all while you were making him your last priority. Paul tells us that in baptism, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that you may bear fruit for God. It was at the font that you received the Holy Spirit, and by his power, you can now bear fruit for God. You can confidently proclaim the gospel to family and friends without fear, knowing that while you may face persecution and division and strife, it is God alone who has the power to destroy both body and soul in hell. You have been released from the law so that you may serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the law. Brothers and sisters in Christ, no one likes to be told that they're a sinner. I know I don't like to be told I'm a sinner. And we especially don't like to hear that message when we know that the messenger is also a sinner. But whether the gospel was proclaimed by Jesus' disciples, or whether his ordained under-shepherd, or his gospel is proclaimed by you, you are serving as Jesus' witness. You are giving a cup of cold water to that little one. Jesus says, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. You see, it's not our message. It's not our gospel to do with as we wish. It's the life-saving message of Jesus. The life-saving gospel, which has the power of salvation for all who believe. In Jesus, you have true peace. Not as the world gives. You have Jesus' promise. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.